Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. Good being with you today. And there's so much that's covered on that intro. I don't really know what to say. A lot to cover. So the main thing, I think, is seeing, you know, that quality of seeing. Can we see something new? I want to welcome you, Lisa.
Thank you, Glenn. It's always nice to be welcomed into the room. With a big warm smile and a good nice hug. Great.
Good. You know, it's so dang true. So true. We were talking, we taped something I want to share with people yesterday with Rita Gentleman and Michir Schneider, and it was so beautiful. We're doing this kind of mini series on seeing and eyesight. And just this, often what's missing for people sometimes is this warmth, this welcoming. And you go to the doctor, sometimes they don't welcome you into this journey or this question of who you are and what's happening in your life. Sometimes it's a very, you know, they focus on symptoms. And so this woman came on from Canada. She's actually a vision teacher, John. And she was talking about how she took a year to do these practices, and she restored her eyes. And the eye doctor had recommended she have eye surgery. But a year later, she didn't need. He actually looked at her eyes, and he couldn't believe it was the same eyes. So he saw her eyes differently. And we're going to go into the Vibrant Living Challenge. The Vibrant Living Challenge is really about seeing differently, or allowing seeing. I'm getting so much feedback, Lisa. It's amazing. So seeing. Okay, so. Thank you, Chris. Supposedly it could be your mic, Lisa. And Chris says that without any blame or anything. Oh, that's wonderful. Okay. That's wonderful. Thank you. All right, it's much, much better. So seeing. So let me ask you guys. In your life, in a day, in a night, sometimes we get used to the scripts of our lives. We get used to a certain kind of mechanical rhythm or non-rhythm. And we go to someone, we go to an eye doctor, and they tell us something, they give us some kind of feedback from their perception, from their scientific education, you could say. But often, as an example, in the field of vision, going to the eye doctor, they focus on a very small realm of what vision is. So, for instance, say you look ahead straight and you look at the eye chart. But really, vision is, it's your peripheral vision. It's the seeing of the nervous system, the sensing of the nervous system. And so as an example, as we're on computers, we lose the sense of where the floor is, where the ceiling is, who's around us, right? That's another whole level of seeing. And there's a field called vision therapy, where they kind of pay attention to that. And so when I kind of started the Vibrant Living Challenge, I got really curious what would happen if people began to see their lives differently and how their body would change. because as we see differently, our body does change. Our sense of security changes. I met an eye doctor that practiced vision therapy. And he said to me once, he said, you know, he goes, Glenn, I don't see people in terms of eyeglass prescription. I see people of how they can let go of their glasses, which I realized when he left, he retired. He was in practice 56 years. When he retired, all the other eye doctors in this area focus on how the dysfunction of the eye, and they don't really focus on the seeingness and how the lenses shift with touch, breath, like the subtlety of why is it that we see, what allows seeing. What they might do is they might look for cataracts, but then the question is what allows you to see, and what allows you to have soft eyes? So soft eyes, when I take people out as an example, I have them allow things to come to them. So if I'm in the woods with my speakers, which is part of the Vibrant Living Challenge, I have people write down their vibrant vision. What's moving them the most about what they really want to express? And for the speakers, I often take them for hikes. And I say to them, when we pass the trees, you see the birds, allow the birds and the trees to come to you. So as an example, let your eyes be soft so things could come to you rather than you're stretching or straining to see it. So after a few days, people tend to, they get what's called the release phenomenon. They tend to feel a little more relaxed. They feel a little more tired. And that's how our system resets. So it's kind of like the myth is, or what we get used to, is kind of straining and straining more. And when we open, when we have the soft eyes, we can now see differently physically. We do see differently physically. But also we get a sense of, the best example is I had a client who wanted to write a book called The Wisdom Tooth, Dr. Rico Ricketts. And he really was very fixed about writing this book when he hired me. And he became a Vibrant Living speaker. He actually lived in British Columbia. And I kept playing with him on this exercise. I said, when you walk by things, trees, birds, dogs, anything that's in nature, kind of let the things come to you. And it impacted him. And one day he called me up and he says, you know, Glenn, he goes, I don't really want to be in a dental office. He goes, I want to be a health coach in Mexico. So as his seeing changed, so did his experience of his body. And that, that became because we had this dialogue, we had this conversation together about what it would be like for him to be in this other vibrant life. What would it be like? So in the Vibrant Living Challenge, the first thing we do is we explore this idea of having a vibrant vision. I help people drop out of time. For a lot of people, time is gripping. So what I mean by that is they get busy. I mean, Chinese medicine, busyness is an illness. So, and it's an illness because it keeps people in the sense of strain or gripping. And so as they open and they see, and there aren't other people open and seeing, they start to get a different sense of not just where they want to go, but the availability of relational space now. So they're not having to strain. And this, of course, changes our experience of our eyesight. But it's interesting, not just changes the eyesight, but it changes our inner vision as well. So when we have relaxed, we have soft eyes. We practice that, and you're on the computer, you could blink, you could yawn, you get up and walk. So then when you're in conversation with other people, everybody gets a vibrant vision journal. And that's how we begin the Vibrant Living Challenge. It's a 3-month challenge. And for those of you, by the way, who want to open up the Vibrant Living Network anywhere in the country, I'm right now we're opening for producers and people that want to bring this one-of-a-kind network to your marketplace, Boulder, San Francisco, Hawaii, New York. And the idea is that when you're working with other people and you're building a business beyond competing, it impacts your system. and because you're in the conversation of it. I guess the contrast would be is, I mean, Deepak Chopra says this well. I happen to like this line because it's true. He says, we grow old and die because we see other people grow old and die. So if you're around a lot of other people and they're competing, and that's that normal, you get used to breathing and you get used to that unnatural pace, that becomes you, could become you. So the idea is just that as we soften our eyes and see, and we have a vibrant vision book, we begin to, begin to embody something that's different that we haven't experienced. It's kind of like if you spent the whole day with 3-year-olds, you know, like that, who run and jump and stuff, you feel a very different rhythm than being around adults. Because as an example, most adults are doing movements they don't have to do. They're doing movements out of strain. But we don't know this because we're kind of in it. One of the wisest things I heard said once is that your business is something you don't want to be in, something you might want to work on it, but you don't want to be in it. You want to be in your life in a way that your biggest of your life moves you and breathes you. And so in fact, you could clear the things of the day and not let the things of yesterday overwhelm you today. So the Vibrant Living Challenge is sharing these practices together. There's practices, and there's a path of action, but there's also certain things that make a big difference as we move towards something we claimed or would like. What do you think, Lisa? How is that outline?
I think it's a pretty good start. Glenn, I have to say that I have been practicing one of the exercises that Mir shared last week where, yeah, you know, to keep looking into the distance, you know, when I'm at the computer. And it's an interesting phenomenon. I think that's sort of what you're asking with the Vibrant Living Challenge, for people to see into the distance, to see beyond what their present circumstances are and embrace a new quality of life. You know, whether that, like you said, to be able to move, you know, so many people are grounded in their office desk chair or in front of a laptop, and they forget what it's like to, you know, get up and move and take a break before, you know, they know it, they get onto one web page and it sucks them in and hours disappear before, and then they get up and they think, oh my gosh, I'm so stiff, you know, but where did all that time go? But when, you know, you embrace life from a vibrant perspective, it's something completely different. You know, you turn off and tune in to what your inner knowing is. And I think that's great. So how do people start signing up for the Vibrant Living Challenge?
I'm sure we start the challenge.
Want to know.
Yeah, we start January 15th. And it's basically, I want you to get a book. I call it your Vibrant Living Journal. And you get a Vibrant Living Partner, too. So you could register. We're going to have this up on the website. So the website is vibrantlivingnetwork.com, vibrantlivingnetwork.com. And there's a whole page that we can have up that explains the Vibrant Living Challenge and also the Vibrant Living, what the Vibrant Living Network is and how they kind of are married. And you could also call me at 413-345-3747, 413-345-3747. So the challenge is based on relationalness and being an exemplifier. So we don't have winners, but every 3 months we send someone away to a vibrant retreat or a spa that I love, that I recommend, because they've exemplified something that's challenging. You know, in the Sufi tradition, a shila, or a challenge, means that we could do something in community we cannot do on our own. And we could do it with more grace and awareness. So the biggest obstacle for most people that I speak to and is isolation, fear, and overwhelm. And that's what they get used to. And so part of the challenge is learning how to unify our vision. And so, for instance, we have people stand in front of the room or use on Zoom, and they might say what their vision is, and then we have everybody else see them in that position. So when we see someone and we mirror it back to them, and it amplifies the experience of that. So I've had many experiences in my life, and I have a chapter in my book which is called golden feedback. And what I say about golden feedback is that, and we practice golden feedback. So golden feedback is when someone sees you past your script, your tendencies, and they see you as there, and they breathe, and if you will, they summon you there. And it's a very different deal. I mean, I had this happen to me when I was 18 or 19. I was at a course with a professor, Kevin Foley, and he must have asked me something in the course. And I went to get something, and he said to me, he goes, "Your word is as good as gold." And I was 19 or so. It was the first time someone ever said that to me. And then he actually turned me on to my first significant teacher. I was talking to my most significant teacher yesterday, Dr. Norm Shealy, and I was so appreciative to be able to talk to Norm and start our year-long course with Norm on living in the miraculous. Because so golden feedback is when someone sees you past circumstance. They see you, or they, I do this with couples and families. You see the family or the couple past the level of the problem, and you see them in a new place. You exhale three times, and you make it a point to see them. Now, one of my teachers said to me, he says, you never give money from the perspective that someone's begging. You give because you see them moving to another place, and then you give it to them. You see, you give it to them with a sense of generosity and wonder. And rather than somehow they're trapped in their circumstance. Now, oftentimes, the challenge of our life is a lot of times where people give us a script or they say something about us based on a very limited take. It doesn't take much to see that someone's a cocaine addict. It doesn't. It takes something to see them playing the violin and being free. This is a major tenet of five-element acupuncture. You got to be able to see someone in functioning or in vibrancy, and which is what's so transformative about being in the Vibrant Living Challenge. We all have challenges. The thing is, can we see people past the challenge and energize that? So in a sense, there's two types of time. One type of time that people experience is the linear content time, the level of problem. The other level of time, it's a contextual time. You see, you're aware of time, but you're also very aware of something bigger than time. I dedicated 4 years of my life to studying time, or living beyond time and living in flow. So another part of the Vibrant Living Challenge is vibrant flow. How to be in this flow state, which allows you to experience your breath and harmony and a different movement in your body. So as an example, with my vibrant speakers, we might go to a horse farm and watch horses move. And I ask people just to breathe and notice what they notice. What you'd like in your life has a body. It has a way of moving and breathing. Pay attention to that way of moving and breathing and feel it. And feel it with your partner regularly and make that relevant. Stay with us for Vibrant Living. Vibrant Living Network. Your life's precious. Enjoy it. Be right back. We'll be right now with Lisa in one moment.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras. a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks, along with Lisa LaRose. I'm talking about the Vibrant Living Challenge. You know, imagery is the most powerful medicine we have. Imagery is allows us to see again. It changes our body. So as an example, and I do this with my speakers, I ask them to pick an animal, the way an animal moves that inspires them. It could be a horse. I had someone pick a wolf. And what I do is I ask people to bring this into their body together. So in some sense, people sometimes will pick names, you know, pick names of the animals they enjoy moving. And I have them move on the stage with the music and animal that they feel the most connected to. And then I have people, how we practice this, Lisa, is we practice seeing them as they want to be seen. So as an example, you could get up, Lisa, and you would say, I want to be seen as a stallion. And then the group might say, tell us more. And you would tell more, and then you might move like a stallion. And then you would ask the group to close their eyes, exhale three times, and then see you. And then you would give your talk from that perspective. So rather than, you know, thinking about your talk, imagine if your body, truck's going to pass me here. Imagine if your body and your movement conveyed the deep message of the talk. So I teach people to own the stage. I work with people on owning the stage and their message from their body, so they can not just own the stage, but they can feel the rhythm of the audience and they can speak to that rhythm. And so I use imagery, and also I help people consciously, if you will, talk to themselves in a different way. I had a woman come once, she wrote a book called Your Body Listens to Every Word You Speak, and she reversed her brain damage by practicing speaking to her brain every day. Happened to me yesterday. I was someplace and I was feeling I was a little scared, and I noticed my body a little tense, and I just practiced softness, just allowing. I could feel it in my cells. I could feel like I could be in relationship with my system in a different way. And when you do this around other people, the awkwardness of it begins to leave. And I've had people, I've had people go on the stage where they never thought they could. And this is a kind of it's a beautiful, vibrant gain. I have people keep a book called a gain book. So in your vibrant journal, you write down gains. A gain might be what you want on stage. Some people, they're very frightened to go on stage. Other people, a gain would be as they started to practice these movements. You know, like, as an example, when you start to move differently and become aware, and, you know, for instance, I think I told you, Lisa, I saw a friend of mine. He was walking in Whole Foods the other day. I joked him. I said, do you want to walk like that? And he stopped. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, what is your walk expressing? And most of it, we don't think of that during the day. We don't think what our walk is saying. What is your walk singing to the world or singing to your inner world or your partner? This is why I think relationalness is so profound, because a couple – we're going to get into this with Tessa in a little while. We're going to have our relational segment. But a couple is a built-in ashram. They're their own. They have their own medicine chest. Because when you practice this with someone else, you can begin to grow aware and grow vibrant in a way that you, that all the stuff that you had around you that probably wasn't. So the movement of our bodies, the movement of our breath, and then playing, this is significant. My friend Frank wrote a book called Play As If Your Life Depends On It. We must play as if our life depends on it. Sports are not necessary. Play is mandatory in an enjoyable way. So this is how it... Thank you. I love that. I almost feel like you were the head waiter at a huge restaurant. Welcome, Teshna.
Welcome, Teshna. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm going to grab my... Lisa, I'm going to grab my little book here. I wrote down... These are the chapters in Divorce the Patterns, Not Each Other. Divorce the Patterns, Not Each Other. I never set out to write this book. I never set out to do a film on the topic of reunion. It kind of came way beyond my mind. I never really thought about these things. I knew that I didn't learn anything about this. I knew that what I saw around me, in that little, there's a little cartoon I have on my wall. It shows a couple going to work, and the couple says, "Oh no, another day of work." The children are saying in this cartoon, "Oh no, another day of school." And you can see in their bodies, you start to grow old with this mentality. But the baby is laying there, and it says, another day of wonder." So the question is, how do we learn hostilization and dehumanization? Because we see it and notice it around us. And then we make up stupid ideas about relationships. We break up rather than understanding a deep... My friend wrote a book called Make Up, Don't Break Up. And she was so inspired by this that she was in the hospital. She told her husband, she said, "Please, I need to speak to Glenn and share with him what I've discovered." One of the things that she told me... So I just want to say in a preface that intimacy is the deepest, most profound medicine in our lives. I corresponded with Dr. Dean Ornish in 1989. He wrote the first significant book on reversing heart disease. The first book, the first program that showed a significant reversal of heart disease. Now, in 1989, Dean told me that a vegan diet and exercise and some meditation and yoga were the fundamentals. Over the next 34 years, he totally changed his mind. He wrote a book called Love and Survival. And part of what got his attention was one of the guys in the group with conjunctive heart failure. He died on the rowing machine after breaking the rowing machine records. He didn't go to group. We discover things relationally through touch and shared breath. In the retreat, I'll be teaching with Teshna, Divorce the Patterns, Not Each Other. You'll have an experience of what this means to send your partner singles. You'll become aware of their not just their blood pressure. You'll have a sense of how your partner goes into a flow state, and then you'll really begin to experience relational flow. To go back to Dean Ornish, Dean Ornish said that for 34 years, there's one medicine that's beyond surgery. There's one medicine that's beyond yoga. There's one medicine that's beyond stress management. Diet. Everything that he thought was really the most significant. He was a true scientist. He had discovered that intimacy, by far, was the greatest healer. Now, at that time, I was studying a work. I restudied a work that I really was curious about, which is on the language of the heart, which I would work with people who wanted to be speakers. The most interesting study, Dr. James Lynch, the most interesting thing in the language of the heart, which you guys will experience, I work with people with couples, is that couples often don't know the feeling and energy state of their partner. So when I dove into James's work, I realized, like, wow, if you could feel your partner's blood pressure, if you could feel the heart in your heart, you would gain a capacity to bridge with them in a different way, in a way that you'd experience ecstasy and wonder through your patterns and not conflict. And yet you could have 17 PhDs and not ever discover this. So some of the smartest people don't have a clue what's going on with their partner. So all these silly rules about breakup and conscious divorce, none of this is based on the latest findings. That is an example, Dr. Sue Johnson, who I've asked to be an advisor on a film that I'm working on, that she has proven is an example. And by the way, she said her colleagues almost killed her when she brought this forward, which is interesting. You know, some people like to be right and keep things going. A lot of professionals, they got to keep their momentum of their work. So she said it was the love of her husband and the depth of their bond that she was able to share what is now called the new attachment theory. What I find fascinating is all the articles you see at the supermarket and all the people that talk about breakups and divorce, they honest to God don't know there's been an innovation and that you could change a divorcing brain and you could change There's no such thing as a made-up mind. So I had the honor of meeting Tesha about 8 years ago. When I saw what work she was doing to help people remove beliefs from their bodies, I went to see myself. I drove 5 hours a week because I knew in my deepest heart, before Dean Ornish said that intimacy was the most profound healer, I knew that relational medicine was the most fundamental, deep medicine, and that pretty much you could throw out the back door all the beliefs about relationships and breakups because it wasn't coming from this deeper resonance. And so I want to say, I never thought to myself I wanted to coach in a different arena. What happened was when I began to talk to people that I was discovering, and I'm talking hundreds of people I would talk to, at the deepest level, we got to talk about deep. What heals someone very deeply? It's not the solo stuff. It's always the relational stuff. So one of my chapters is an example, and you'll experience this at the workshop I'm doing with Tesha at Menla. The Menla Retreat Center is in the Catskills. It's absolutely gorgeous. Myself and Tesha will be there for New Year's, and we'll be giving an intro to this. Divorce the patterns on each other. So I want to say who it's for, Tesha. Maybe that's a good idea. So divorce the patterns, not each other, is for anybody that's ever had a sense they could have a deep relationship beyond the circumstance and the habitual, that they can have a relationship where they can become more themselves, more allowing of the wonder and union that's there. That's just there when two people understand that it's not the circumstance, it's not your compatibility, it's this deeper thing where you become in the sense of conscious harmony and conscious attachment. So one of the chapters in my book I'm going to go over is called From Betrayed to Be Loved Together. And Tesha encouraged me to do these imagery exercises based on Phoenix, the relational Phoenix. So the relational Phoenix is the imagery of the Phoenix is that no matter what's happened in your life up to this point, you can ignite a whole new wonder, a whole new energy together. That's why it's a relational Phoenix. Because a lot of people say, based on the old science, that they can't go on anymore. But if you have an imagery and you have a breath, a relational breath, which we'll share with you, because we have a relational meditation. We have these relational imagery. And the idea is from the burning and from the destruction, you can initiate something so beautiful and profound. So as I speak to you today, I've been talking to couples who have remarried. And they've remarried in a way that this new marriage is so wondrous. And their gratitude is so deep because they realize they could have easily lost each other. Because most people around you, let's face it, they want you to divorce for the most part, not because necessarily they totally care about you, because your pain disturbs them. So, you know, Chloe Madonis is one of my mentors. She's worked with, so many couples around the world. And she said to me one day, Glenn, it's the girlfriends, that a lot of times the people around you have an investment. And because of the speed of our lives, it's easy to get rid of something rather than go deeper and discover the wonder and beauty in your marriage, in your relationship. So divorce the patterns over the last 7 years through a lot of guidance and just people that just opened my eyes again and again and again. When I would talk with them about relational meditation and imagery, right on the call, right when I was with them, they would say to me, God, I just never knew how much I love my partner. And I knew then when I started to hear that it was time. It was a moment where I needed to really go into this because I could feel. And what was so beautiful, Tesha and Lisa, was that Nate, when he scheduled this with me, he said, Glenn, this is the most unique thing we'll be offering, that this is something that is a blue ocean. It's just not available. Most of the articles and what's out there is kind of like presuming that people are going to do this thing. They're going to blow up their relationship. This is an opportunity to have a relationship and discover a pathway in together. And a relational brain and a relational soul together. I thought I would just give you let you say hello to people, Tesha, and let Lisa comment. But I hope beyond my words that you could hear and feel kind of the soul connection I have to this. It totally opened my life up. I just want to say one more thing. I had an eye doctor from LA. I told her about this, and she said, "Well, I'm so moved. What about families?" And I said, you know what, I'm writing a chapter in my book just because you asked me that. So it's something that's come from the inside and through outside people have come to me in the most unusual ways. Divorce their patterns, and now I have the vibrant matchmaking beyond dating. We got to get rid of this silly notion of dating to relating. All right, Tesha, I'm going to give you the hot stick. I hope my intent is I did some justice to this wonderful retreat, and that we're going to touch couples around the world, and it's going to be a gift and something that will make a profound difference. And I'm happy you're there because I feel like you have the tools, and just beyond the tools, who you are, you've helped assisted so many people in taking punishing beliefs that have gotten into their body, and they don't even see it. We don't see hidden beliefs in our body. We just don't see thought viruses. So I'm going to hand you the stick, Tesha. Here we go. Stick to Tesha and Lisa. Here we go.
All right.
Hi.
Well, like, I'm excited about teaching this because so many workshops for couples and even for
I apologize. One second, Tesha. Chris, if Glenn is called in, he's good. Definitely let me know because I want to get him on, and I apologize if I went on a little thing there, but definitely let Glenn know. He can call back. Have Glenn get to me after Tesha shares. Please, Tesha, go ahead. I apologize.
Okay, no problem. So what I was saying is that most of the workshops that are out there right now for relationships are talking about what to do, but they don't necessarily have like a very concrete tool to make a change on the subconscious level, because no matter how much we want to improve something on the conscious level, if our subconscious doesn't agree with that, it's going to be a lot more work and it's going to be very difficult to make the change. But if you have a tool like we're going to teach in a workshop to actually muscle test the person to find out what the belief system is that might be in their way of having a happy relationship. And then we use the technique to literally remove that from the subconscious. And then we muscle test again to make sure that it is gone and that now the belief system is the opposite, so that you can actually be sculpting your inner terrain, so to speak, of your relationship so that it can work for you instead of not. So that's very powerful. So we're going to be teaching people how to muscle test. We're going to be teaching people how to do the technique to remove the blockages, how to muscle test again to make sure it's gone, and then how to put in the opposite belief in there and make sure it's there using muscle testing again. And once you do that, then your subconscious agrees with what you want consciously, so you're much more likely to manifest it, which will make it a lot easier to want to let go of the pattern rather than the partner.
I love it. You know, Tesha, I want to share something because you sparked me. I had the profound honor, and I feel a little funny saying who this is, but he's one of my closest mentors. He's 85, and so he said to me, he told me a story yesterday that basically he was reading. He's going to reveal this. I know it. He's gonna come forth. He's truly one of the deepest connections I have in my life, and he's so wise. But he told me something, Tesha, that got me, and it got me something about couples and what you just said. He basically learned from one of his great great grandfathers that early on in life we create a death script. We actually choose the time and day and the illness we're going to die from. Kind of strange, kind of out there, but he decided to eradicate that and change his death script. And for couples, I want you guys to realize right now, we're going into the new year. I want you guys to see each other. And Tesha has some beautiful stuff. She's going to be there. She's a family member. And by the way, Glenn, if you're there, we're going to get you on. Not miss you again. Your life, precious, enjoy. More with Lisa. We got to hear what Lisa's thinking. What's Lisa's alive thinking as she's sitting there, dancing there? Stay with us.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos. A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I'm honored to have Dr. Teshna with us here on the Vibrant Living Network. She's co-teaching Divorce the Patterns on Each Other at Menla. We're talking today about your relationship, your relational bonds, and that you can go beyond divorce. So, Teshna, I was just making that point about my mentor, who's 85, that, you know, a lot of us do think, I love that what you said. A lot of what happens in our lives are sometimes unconscious beliefs of what I call thought viruses. And so the idea that we're living out something, we're not really aware of it. So if someone bothers us, but really it's not them. It's kind of a, like, share with people how this occurs, because you have such a beautiful way of sharing about it. Communicating about it?
Well, basically, the way that I've observed it with myself and with my patients,
yes,
is that basically from conception until about 10 years old is when we basically record everything that happens to us and around us, and that becomes part of our software. That becomes part of our belief system. So that's how we learn what a relationship is supposed to be like, what love means, what a marriage means, what being a parent means, what money means, what career means, everything, you know, health, everything.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
basically, in this case, we're going to focus on the relationship pattern and love pattern and marriage pattern and maybe even parent pattern, because they all affect each other if the people are parents. And basically, you start to look at the parallel between what your parents were like with you and with each other, and then you see how you tend to be like that with your partners and your kids. And so we basically just imitate whatever we observed when we were little. And so all of that went in on the subconscious level, and now it's just running our lives. And it's very nice when it's all positive, but if there's any negative beliefs in there or anything that, you know, that,
yeah,
we don't like in there, it's in there. And unless you remove it, it's going to,
yeah,
stay there. And that's why people find themselves repeating the same patterns over and over again. Like, they always get involved with someone who's a narcissist, or they always get involved with someone who's addicted to alcohol, or they're addicted to someone who's critical or whatever. And it's like, even though they think they finally met someone who's not critical, like a few months into it, they're critical.
Yeah.
That has something to do with our belief system, because that's what we believe love is. So if someone believes love means being criticized, they're going to look for someone who's critical. It's just that simple. And if that person is not critical enough, then they will act and talk in ways that will make them be criticized. They'll just do it on purpose, subconsciously, just so they get that criticism that makes them feel loved. So, consciously, most people don't like being criticized. But subconsciously, there's a lot of us who do, because that's what we grew up with. And with the approach that we have, we'll be able to test people with that, and testing them with, I can let go of the belief that love and life means being criticized. And if they go weak on that, that means they're not congruent with letting go of that belief.
Share with people how you share with people the you work with people's bodies. So, because some people may not know, share with people how you work with people's bodies to uncover, to clear and uncover.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's two different ways of doing it. When I do it in my practice, I use a technique that's called neuro-emotional technique, and where you muscle test the person with a statement, and then you find which meridian is affected. And then you find which emotion is in that meridian is affected, and then you basically clear what you find. And then the other way is the one that I teach in my workshop that I'll be teaching at Menla, and that one, we muscle test the person's statement, and if they go weak, then we use a tapping technique that's similar to what people know about EFT, but it's different. It's a simplified version that works really fast, and so you use that tapping with saying certain things, and then after you do it, you retest, and lo and behold, you cleared the belief. And now you no longer believe that love and life means being criticized. So then I will muscle test the person again with, I can allow myself to believe that love and life means being accepted as I am. And then if they're strong on that, that means we're complete. But if they're weak on that, then we would do the tapping technique again, and remove that block to them believing that they can be accepted as they are, until when we muscle test that statement, they're strong.
So another way to say this, another way, I love what you're saying. So another way that I'm interpreting this is that we may deeply love our partner, but there's a pattern that we find disruptive. And after a while, we might get used to reacting or pushing away from the pattern. With the work you're doing, you can clear the pattern. So the more love, the buoyancy of the relationship can start to move into the relationship rather than the banging into each other.
Exactly. So you can literally, so like when I work with couples, I have, I'll ask the men, let's say, okay, so what is the one thing in the relationship that's really affecting you negatively? You know, what is it that's bugging you? And then the same thing to the woman. And then whatever they say, then I check to see if there's a belief that love and life means being that way. And then it almost always is. And then we clear that, and then we check the partner for the opposite belief. In other words, and the first example I gave, so if the woman believes love and life means being criticized, then usually the man believes that love and life means criticizing. It's a marriage made in heaven, you see? And so you need to clear both of them. And you clear them, so the woman now believes that love and life means being accepted as she is, and then for him, that love and life means accepting the people he loves as they are. And once you clear that, there's a lot less criticism going on.
Well, I had this discussion with my mentor yesterday. He was married about 56 years. We had the discussion about this, and it was such a beautiful discussion. He pretty much loved her the moment he met her and devoted himself to her until she transitioned. And we're going to get into this. We're going to get into relationships and changing the brain. I guess what I want to ask you and get your take, it does seem that some people hold a bigger mind state together, a different conscious state. So that is an example. Some people might refer to it as unconditional love, conscious love. What I'm curious about, Tessna, is there's some people I'm around, I can feel love their relationship, and it wakes up my heart, wakes me up. It's very awakening. What's your take on people that seem to hold this? In other words, they have some, their consciousness changed their brain beyond this kind of tit for tat thing. You know what I mean? In other words, they have some awareness. Do you find as people become aware of one tendency, they clean out other tendencies? In other words, once you become aware that you're functioning kind of like a robot and you realize, oh my God, I love my partner, I consciously love my partner, I don't want to be running this on them. Is that beginning to have a cumulative effect in terms of love and embrace throughout the whole of their relationship into their intimate relationship?
Yeah, definitely. Because when you start to bring that awareness to people that they actually have these subconscious beliefs that are running their relationship, then
they become aware of that and they can start to change it, because I teach people how to do it on themselves. And Mandla, when we teach that workshop, I will teach people how to do it on themselves as well, so that when people leave the workshop, they have a tool they can use on a daily basis to continue improving their relationship by removing the beliefs that they don't like and installing the ones they do want. And that, and so now I have couples telling me after they took the workshop, they say, you know, it's amazing because we're doing so well. And then if something comes up, you know, we're both like, okay, what's the belief behind that? You know?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, yes, yes. Well, I know one couple, what they do. Yes.
And they check each other and then they clear it and then boom, they're back on again. And it feels much better. And they just keep refining it, you know, so it just gets better and better.
Well, I met one couple. They've been married now, I want to say 24 years. And what they do, I just love it. They basically acknowledge pain body. That's their cue word. And the idea is they don't care where it comes from. If they see there's some pain body in themselves, or it's just one of them notices that they acknowledge it. And they were telling me it's been so sort of powerful to have, like, in other words, they're a team and they're recognizing the pain body's there. And when they recognize it, they can move into a depth of another connection. I thought it was pretty cool that they had this sort of just a simple thing. It's not even my pain body. It's just pain body. It's just this, you know, this counterfeitness is inhabiting our relationship. Just the one word to acknowledge it, and then they get back on course.
Yes, that sounds good.
All right. It went through the Teshna ultimate love deep test just then and went through. Okay, that's good. It looks like so I guess we didn't hear from Glenn. Glenn owns a restaurant, and I'm helping Glenn at Wild Barbecue change some of the buffet. We're getting cage-free eggs. Basically, that food is medicine the same way love is medicine. I'm very excited, Teshna, because we're actually in conversation with Brown University about holding one of our vibrant summits there. I'll be able to announce that we're partnering with Natural Health, Natural Awakenings Magazine. We also got one coming up in June. It's Stowe, Vermont, one of my favorite places to go. And Menla, I'm so inspired about Menla and the relationship we have with Nate Hughes, who consults at Retreat Center. So I want to thank Nate. I also want to thank James, because we're a day away for the logo for the retreat, the Relational Phoenix. I'm enthused about the Relational Phoenix. You know, the Relational Phoenix was something I felt in my heart deeply, and then I realized certain people would sort of activate it for me. I could get around certain people. In your experience with doing this work, are there two or three things you want to leave with people today that you feel like just hearing them could bring their relationship to another place of love? Just listening to two or three things you say, like love guidelines, what would you want to leave people with before the new year?
Well, that's a wide question.
I know. I gave you a big, big question. I put you on the love spot.
Yeah. Well, I guess the one thing I would say is that no matter what's going on that might be annoying you with your partner, just know that it's only because there's a subconscious belief in there that's making it so, and that there's a solution, and you can remove that belief and then change that feeling completely. So, and it can be done very quickly. So just let's have them, encourage them to come to that retreat that we're going to be doing at Menla.
Go to Menla.
Go
to Menla.
Meantime, you can read my book, because that explains all the stuff and gets you ready to start, you know, working on it. And so you can go on my website. It's drteshna.com, drteshna.com, drteshna.com. And on there you can buy my book and read it, and that will bring you a lot of understanding that you may not have right now that will help you to continue with your relationship instead of dropping it. Because what happens is people, they think that it's a solution is to leave their partner, but then what happens is they go find somebody that's just exactly the same, and they end up in the same exact kind of fix. So instead, stay with your partner and clear these beliefs so that you can actually go back to that original love that you had when you first met. Mm-hmm. So
and sometimes it's and discover a deeper love, because the deeper love exists beyond the patterns often, right? We get used to the patterns, we forget there's this other quality of being and connection. And unfortunately, most of the books written on meditation are solo meditation. They look at it from the soloness or the me. And this is really from the perspective of we meditation. We'll be having we meditations and imagery. So you could practice something that actually, and this is sort of the latest stuff. The latest stuff is that we have a relational brain and that our soul and our brain are connected. This is all recent stuff. And we didn't have this, you know, just when we had the monastic path. And so a lot of the monastic path prior to this we awareness kind of perpetuated some of the separateness, along with what I call empowerment movements. We're going to get into some really beautiful stuff. Your life's precious. Enjoy it. Thank you, Tashina, very much. Appreciate you. Thank you, Lisa, for being fabulous. And everybody else, I thank you so much for your participation, your questions, and for participating and engaging with the Vibrant Living Network. 413-345-3747. So you want to share with me, oh, you have a question or comment, I want to be part of the Vibrant Living Network. 413-345-3747. Thank you deeply. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate our partnership.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tessa.